Good morning, everyone. Summer is here, which means it is my annual time to preach. If it's your first time here today and I say something you don't like, my name is Chad Burbacher and I'm the lead pastor of Destination Church. I'm kidding. My name is Jesse and I lead worship among other things here. Pastor Chad will be back next week, like Pastor Brian said. In the meantime, I'll do my best to preach God's word and encourage you as the Church of Jesus Christ. There was an elderly couple who noticed that they were getting a lot more forgetful. So they decided to go to the doctor. The doctor told them that they should start writing things down so that they don't forget. They went home, and the lady told her husband to get her a bowl of ice cream from the kitchen. "You might want to write it down," she said. The husband said, "No, I can remember that you want a bowl of ice cream." Then she told her husband she wanted a bowl of ice cream with whipped cream. She said, "Write it down." And again, he said, "No, I can remember you want a bowl of ice cream with whipped cream." Then the old lady said she wants a bowl of ice cream with whipped cream and a cherry on top. She said, "Write it down." He said, "No, no, I can remember you want a bowl of ice cream with whipped cream and a cherry on top." So the man went to the kitchen. He spent a usually long time there, over 30 minutes. Then he came back out to his wife. He hands her a plate of eggs and bacon. The wife stares at the plate for a moment, then slowly looks up at her husband with disappointment and says, "Where's the toast?" Anyways. All right, we're laughing. That's good. The title of today's message is, "Are You Winning?" Our key verse for the day is Romans 8:37. It says this, "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, that it is alive and active. God, I thank you that you are a good God, that you love us and that you are near to us. Lord, for anybody today who is far from you, Lord, I pray that you speak to their heart, even through worship and through giving and through this message. Lord, I thank you for your hand upon us and that we leave today changed, better, more like you than we were yesterday. In Jesus' name, amen. The desire to win, to rise above and to not be defeated is in each and every one of us. Whether you say you're competitive or not, it's in your DNA to win. Each and every one of you in this room won the first race of life to the womb. Think about that. That human resiliency is on full display in a woman named Wilma Rudolph. Wilma was born prematurely in 1940 and weighed just 4.5 pounds. She was the 20th of 22 children in her family, praise God. She suffered from several childhood illnesses, including pneumonia, scarlet fever, and she contracted infantile paralysis caused by poliovirus at age 5. Rudolph recovered from polio but lost strength in her left leg and foot, physically disabled for much of her early life. Rudolph wore a leg brace until she was 12 years old. Because there was little medical care available for African-American residents of Clarksville, Tennessee in the 40s, her parents had to drive to Nashville, Tennessee, which was about 50 miles from Clarksville. But with helpful massages from her many siblings and her mother's determination, Rudolph's leg began to heal. "My doctor told me I would never walk again," Wilma said. "My mother told me I would. I believed my mother." Soon after, she was able to run. Rudolph's amazing speed really made her stand out. As a 16-year-old student, she qualified for the U.S. Olympic team in the 1956 Olympic Games in Melbourne. She brought home a bronze medal in the 4x100-meter relay. 4 years later, in the Rome 1960 Olympic Games, Rudolph turned in one of the finest performances by an American Olympian to that date. She took gold in the 100, 200-meter, and the 4x100-meter relay. Her time in the 100 was faster than the world record, but it didn't count because the wind to her back was slightly above regulation speed, which seemed like she was cheated a little bit, but she held the record. Then she set the record for the 200, and in 1 week, Rudolph laid claim to the title of fastest woman in the world and became the first American woman to win 3 gold medals at a single Olympic game. That drive to not give up in the midst of adversity is in all of us in some way. So what does that mean as Christians? How are we winning in our daily walk with Christ? Number one, we win by walking by the Spirit. Let's look at Romans 8, verses 1 through 6. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh or the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit. Hold on. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's look at verse 1. Let's break this down, where it says, there is no condemnation. That word condemnation means guilty verdict. There is no guilty verdict to those who are in Christ Jesus, amen, who do not walk or who do not live according to their flesh or your human nature or your desires of this world, but according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of the Lord. We must first come to the realization that we are born into sin, but that when we turn to Jesus, the guilt of sin is gone and we are free in Christ, so that we can live for him and not for ourselves. Living for Jesus takes work. Just because our debt is paid and the guilty verdict is gone does not mean that walking in the Spirit is easy. We have to consciously make the choice to spend time in prayer, reading the Bible, worshiping him. Look at verse 5 and 6 again. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What does it mean to be spiritually minded? Colossians 3, 12 through 15 says this. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. If you have to put something on, it means you don't have it already. Right? So put on. These words, put on, mean to clothe oneself or to sink into clothing. I love that phrase. It reminds me, so my wife has this dream to lay down on a grassy meadow and totally be smothered by 100 puppies, just licking her face. That's kind of what I envision here, sink into clothing. Like you're just completely wrapped. There's no part of you not covered by putting on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, amen. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ also forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on, same word, on the beginning and right there, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body. And, I love this part, be thankful. That's a good one, right? That changed their attitude so much by being thankful. These qualities all take work. Walking by the Spirit takes action. You cannot just sit around and wait for these traits to happen on their own, because they won't. Showing kindness doesn't just happen. Humility doesn't just happen. Forgiving someone doesn't just happen. If you've been there, you've had to forgive somebody who's wronged you. It is hard. It is difficult. And it's not just a one-time thing most of the time. You have to continually remind yourself, I forgive you, right? To put on, you've got to take action and clothe yourself. How often do we clothe ourselves? For most of us, hopefully it's every day. If not, you're probably spending some time thinking about things for a long time. Anyways, all right. One of the biggest keys about godly life isn't about being perfect, but it's about being consistent, right? So these words, put on. It's a consistent action. Walking with the Lord, walk by the Spirit, is a consistent thing. It's not about being perfect. That's what we're striving for, because Jesus was perfect, but no one is perfect, so we'll never get it. But being consistent with the Lord is one of the most important things. Look at 14. Put on love. I know this might be a shocker, but we were not born with the natural ability to love. We had to learn it. And then when you get saved and know Jesus, you have to relearn it. And then relearn it. And relearn it again. That is so great about living according to the Spirit, is that you never reach the end of wisdom. There's always more. God is always fine-tuning us while we're on this earth. And that brings us to point Number two, we win by renewing our minds. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says it like this: "In reference to your former way of life, you are to rid yourselves of the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you are to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on," same word, "the new self," consistently, daily, put on the new self, "which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." Amen. Renewing our mind is a struggle, and again, it's a daily battle, but the good news is we know the path to victory, to get rid of your old ways and to put on the new you, the redeemed you. Clothe yourself in the likeness of your Creator. There is a fight for your soul and a battle against the forces of darkness. And I know picking up your cross daily and following Christ does not come easily, but the good news is we aren't alone. Jesus paid the price. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. You know, the game that the devil plays isn't always an obvious one. And what I mean by that is he's not trying to make everybody a Satanist. Think about that. There's not a lure from the enemy. If you're following Jesus, it's not, "Hey, come worship me," and directly. He's perfectly fine with keeping you out of the game spiritually. He's content with keeping you on the sidelines and never letting you realize your full potential in the Lord. Hear me, not losing isn't the same as winning, or not messing up or not sinning isn't the same as winning in Christ and walking by the Spirit. I see it all the time. Look, I know you think that because I'm from Kansas and I've been a lifelong Kansas sports fan that I've got it made, or I forgot what it's like to not be a champion. But I can't tell you how many games I've seen my teams get a lead and all of a sudden they play not to lose, but what got them the lead was playing to win. Coaches and players fall into this trap of trying so hard not to lose that they lose momentum of the game. They start getting nervous or they get scared and they blow the lead, and guess what? They lose. Has anyone ever seen their sports team do that? Where you see them like, "Guys, what are you doing?" Like they totally forgot how to play. I'm not going to point out any local NFL teams. I'm just, hey, Jags are my second, okay? I'm rooting for them too. But you see it happening. You see, like, they get the lead and they think, "Okay, this is enough. Let me hold on to it and not lose." And then they just, mentally, something happens, and then the other team comes charging back. And it's not fun. Amen. Okay. But spiritually, I've seen this happen in those around me and in my life at sometimes too. We can get stuck in this rut of sitting around and doing nothing, trying not to fail, that we completely lose sight that we are called to win. The Lord said that if a believer is lukewarm, that he will vomit them from his mouth, and that he wishes you were cold or hot, meaning that being far from him or close to him. To be lukewarm, you could say, is to be not losing. So being in a not losing state as a Christian is worse than being cold, being far from the Lord, according to this verse. There's another parable of three servants who were given money from their master. Jesus spoke this parable. The first servant was given the most money, second servant a little lower, and the third servant was given the least. And so the master told his servants, "Hey, take this money, multiply it, invest, do something with it," right? Make it grow. The master leaves. The first servant, who had the most, he was wise, he invested the money, he got what he put into it, he got back. So he doubled his return. Second servant, same thing, doubled his return. The last servant was scared to lose what was given to him, so he did nothing with it. He hid it in the ground. The master returned and said, where's the money I gave you? And he said, "Master, I didn't lose it. I have it right here." But then the master called him a wicked servant because he did nothing with what was given to him, and he hid it. He didn't lose it. He didn't spend it on a partying lifestyle. He just didn't do anything with it for his master's enterprise or for the kingdom. So to not do anything with what we're given is worse than being far from the Lord. So the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But he cannot beat you in Christ. The victory has already been won on the cross. The enemy can only lie to convince your mind that you'll lose. And if we start to believe that lie, instead of renewing our mind by the Spirit, we limit ourselves as Christians. Just this past week, I learned something new. Go figure. I learned about bonsai trees. Bonsai is the Japanese art of growing and shaping miniature trees in small containers. But what I learned is that bonsai isn't a species of tree, but it is a technique to grow trees. This technique can be used on most trees. The miniaturized version of the tree is accomplished by regularly trimming the roots and the branches to maintain size and shape, using wire to guide the growth of the branches to the desired positions, and growing the trees in shallow pots to restrict root growth. Essentially, what's happening is an environment is created that stunts the growth of the tree. If you took two identical seeds, you planted one in an open field with water, good soil, and sunlight, and one as a bonsai technique, you would get the one in the field growing strong, intended to what it was meant to be, full, tall. And then with this technique of cutting the roots down, having a shallow, restricted pot, you would get a miniature version of the tree. And ladies, I know what you're thinking. It's super cute, but that's not the point of this illustration, okay? That's not what it was originally intended to be. It's meant to be a large tree, shade for birds, producing fruit. So what's happening, it's cut short. It's restricted. It's not living to its full potential. Are you hearing me? There is so much power and authority when we live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. When we walk by the flesh, that's the pot that we're creating for ourselves. When we walk by the Spirit, there's so much more. There's an open field with roots to spread, to grow, to create more trees. Amen? Amen. The same power that rose Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you and gives strength to your bodies. In John 14, 12, Jesus told his disciples that you will do even greater miracles than these. Jesus was talking about the miracles that he did. He was telling his followers, you will do greater miracles than these. So we need to ask ourselves, what areas in our lives are we winning, losing, or just getting by? As Christians, we have power and authority over darkness, but do we walk like it? And look, this is for myself too. I'm challenging myself this morning. That am I walking to the full potential God has called me to walk? We need to ask ourselves, are we winning, losing, or just getting by? We have power and authority over darkness because of Jesus. Are we limiting ourselves? Are we stunting our growth in the Lord? And what stunts our growth most is sin. No one in this room is perfect. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But do you ever feel like you're trapped and you can't get out? What I think we do sometimes is we give more power to sin than what it really has, or more power to the enemy than what it really has. Let me explain. Have you ever seen The Sandlot movie based on me? Okay, a few of us. That's okay. That's okay. It's a classic movie about these group of young boys who love baseball. And they have this park that they play in, and they play every day. And one day they hit the ball over the fence into the neighbor's yard who has this big, loud dog. Right? And the boys are terrified. They've told stories for years about how horrible this dog is. It's a monster. It eats people. Just they built up this fear of this dog throughout the whole movie. Right? But by the end, they knock on the neighbor's door. He comes to the door, which is James Earl Jones, the greatest voice of all time. He lets the boys come in. They get the ball. They find the dog. They go up to the dog. You know, the dog's not a monster. Right? And by the end of the movie, they realized they played so much fear into their mind of getting the ball back that they were going to get eaten if they tried. But it was as simple as them going and getting it. So what I'm saying is that we give more power to sin to the enemies, that we create this fear in our minds that you'll never be free, that you'll never be healed, that you'll never walk in the Spirit. And that's not from the Lord. That's from the enemy. He stalks about like a roaring lion. It means he's loud. He wants to be heard, but his power isn't in the roar, right? His power is in convincing us that we're less than. But God has called us to be more than conquerors. Amen? Amen. So the Sandlot is your task for this week. I'm just kidding. No, you don't need to watch out. We need to ask ourselves. Okay. Yes, we did. We did ask ourselves that question. The reason that we need to not give more power to sin, more power to that fear, is that God has called us out to be a light for others. Because we are children of God, like we sang this morning. One way we can stop limiting ourselves is by number three. We win by knowing whose we are. Romans 8:37 says this, "But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." Amen? Our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he gave his only Son that we could live for him. Today, if you're living for Jesus, you're free. You're free. Amen? You're free from sin, free from bondage, free from a losing mindset. We are free so that we can go and make disciples. The last instructions that Jesus left for his followers were to go and make disciples. That's winning language. Go and make. Not sit and don't do anything. Go and make. He loved us so that we can overwhelmingly conquer in this life and in the life to come. I want to be clear about something, though. Winning in Christ does not mean that you won't face adversity or suffering. It's almost certain that you will. It doesn't mean you're losing when hardships come. It just means you have an opportunity to trust, to grow, to get stronger. And once you're on the other side, you can be an encourager to someone else who is going through what you just went through. So I was raised in a Christian home by great parents who love the Lord and who taught me who I am in Christ. My mom came from a very rough background. Her parents were alcoholics. She grew up in an unkind home, to say the least. Her parents passed before I was born. She had an older brother who died of overdose, and she felt the weight of taking care of her family at a young age. She gave her life to Christ as an adult, and she loved Jesus so deeply. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, I was eight, about to turn nine, she developed breast cancer. And that year, I specifically remember her training me in my spiritual walk more than usual. She always taught me scriptures. We always sang songs around the house and worship, but this was more intentional, and looking back, I remember that. I see that. She said, "Jesse, I want you to memorize these verses every day." She printed out verses on a paper. She says, "Memorize these, speak these every day. Also, I want you to pray in the Spirit daily and journal what the Lord is doing in your life." What she was doing was training me to know who I am and whose I am. The year went by and things got much worse for her physically. We prayed every day for a miracle, but towards the end of 2000, she was getting chemo, and that's when things turned quickly. Her body was deteriorating, and we knew the time was coming. She was a tough woman, and she fought hard. But one day, me, my brother, and my dad, we walked into the hospital room, and we had to tell her that she can go home. And a few days later, she went to be with her Savior. And it was the hardest thing me, my brother, and my dad ever went through. And I don't, to this day, understand why she wasn't healed on this earth, but I am beyond grateful that she's free from pain and that she's in the presence of the King of Kings and that he's taking care of her better than we ever could. By knowing who I am in Christ and by knowing who he is, that he is the God of all comfort, I'm able to be an encourager to those who I've met along my life since that have gone through losing somebody or losing a family member and encourage them, you know, like, hey, I know you're hurting. And those memories, you know, hold on to those memories. And you know, God is tough right now, but the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And I'm able to say that because the Lord did it for me. And that's what we're called, is making disciples and being there for other believers who are going through something hard, is that getting through the other side and winning, you're able to bring somebody else along who's going through it and doesn't see a way out. Amen. So if you know somebody in your life that you could share your personal testimony with that will help them, do it. They need it more than you know. The thing about hardships is that we all have been through them at some point. And I know that it may seem that the season can last for a long time, but we are not designed to live in that state. Trials and tribulations strengthen our faith, bring us closer to God, and remind us that we are just passing through while we're on this earth. Our home, our eternal goal is to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. And that's one thing, too, that me and my family went through, is that it helped us to cherish the moments we have with those around us. I would like to say, hopefully my wife would agree, that I'm a very forgiving person. And one of the reasons is that going through that hardship in my life and losing my mom made me realize that if I was holding unforgiveness towards her, I never would have the chance to say anything, right? And so since I was a kid going into teenager, it made me evaluate, like, man, what's really important in life? Do I get upset about things that really don't matter? Because we are temporarily here. That's what the scriptures say. We're here to get today, gone tomorrow. We are but a breath, a vapor, you know, and this isn't the goal. We're here for a reason, but the main goal is to be with the Lord one day. Amen? Amen. Cherish the time we have together because God has given it to us and it is a blessing. Look at John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. In the same breath, Jesus says, you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. You may be down for a moment, but I have won ultimately. Amen? What it means is we overwhelmingly conquer through him. We are not meant to live in defeat and in a constant state of pain and suffering. Sure, there may be seasons, but the goal is to rely on Christ to get to the other side. Encourage your brother or sister who's going through it. Hebrews 11 talks about the heroes of faith, like Abraham, Moses, Noah, and more. I want to pick up in verse 32, and it says, what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting the release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mocking and flogging, further chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskin, goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. This is my favorite part. People of whom the world was not worthy. Amazing. Wandering in the deserts, on mountains, and sheltering in caves and holes in the ground. Now, most of us will never experience trials like this, but we may experience a few of them. We know, when we know whose we are, and that we have a great high priest, a savior, a friend who has been tempted in all things, yet without sin. He suffered, was afflicted, and he carried the weight of humanity's error on his shoulders and still overcame the world. We can get through hardships much better knowing whose we are. Amen? Because Jesus won it. When you face temptation, Jesus won it. When you face persecution, Jesus won it. When you face sickness, Jesus won it. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Amen? Beth, if you could come to the stage. So if you remember anything this morning, remember this. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Remind yourself of that daily. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. When we walk daily after the things of the Spirit, we walk with the power of Christ. Don't limit yourself. Get in the game and walk in victory. Stop giving power to the enemy by making obstacles bigger than what they really are. And when you go through hardships, remember the word. Remember who your heavenly Father is and that he's with you every step of the way. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand. Let's pray.
Thank you for watching our video. If you liked it, share with a friend and subscribe to our channel. We go live every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also support us by clicking the Give button. This allows us to continue to impact our community as well as help missions across the globe with the love of Jesus Christ. Thanks again for watching.